I am sure there are many young ladies of good standing who would be only too happy to make a contract with a rising young gentleman and war hero such as yourself, sir.
No. No more arranged marriages.
Pardon me, sir. I quite understand your feelings in the matter, but if you are to lead your clan, it will be necessary for you to marry at some point, to produce heirs, to carry on your line.
Yes, I know. But not yet.
Don't try to pressure him, Baxter. Robert can be as stubborn as a deaf mule when he wants to be. It's a Campbell trait.
Robert looked around smiling as the owner of the strident voice came over to join him. Adrienne was one of his closest friends, even if she was married to the notorious Finley Campbell. As soon as she heard he was back, Adrienne arranged for him to stay with her, while she took charge of the details of his introduction back into society. Robert hadn't argued. One didn't with Adrienne. And he'd been glad of somewhere secure and friendly to lay his head. His old family home, Tower Campbell, had been taken over by the Wolves. He had no rights to it any longer. So he and Baxter were camped out at Adrienne's somewhat crowded house and tried to get a word in edgeways now and again. Adrienne had all but taken over the running of Robert's life. He didn't mind, really. It reminded him happily of his time in the military. She waved the hovering tailor away with an imperious gesture, and he practically broke his back bowing his way out across the room. Adrienne looked sharply at Baxter.
Well, how's he doing?
As well as can be expected, ma'am. He is making progress, slowly. He has a regrettable impulse towards truthfulness and sincerity, but nothing that can't be overcome. A few carefully arranged appearances at the right soirees and coffee mornings, just to test the waters, and then he should be ready to make a more public splash in society.
At least now you look the part, Robert.
I feel like an idiot.
That's how you know it's fashionable, dear. You should have seen some of the things my Finley wore in his days as a fop. People would complain of eye strain for days after he unveiled a new outfit.
We need to talk about Finley. Have you seen him recently? Is he going to make problems over my being the Campbell instead of him? He does have a better claim to the title.
Trust me, dear. Finley doesn't want to be the Campbell. He never did. Finley wouldn't know what to do with responsibility if you nailed it to his forehead. He's always been the most important thing in his life. I had hoped Evangeline might have changed that, but he came to see me recently. Said he wanted to see the children, which was a first. I'm surprised he could remember their names without prompting.
How did it go?
Badly. I should have known better. He's never been any good with children. Or anyone else, really. But I have to say, he seemed even more out of it than usual. I'd be worried about him, if I could bring myself to give a damn. I really must contact Evie, see how she's doing. Finley has never really appreciated her. But that can wait. How do you feel now, Robert?
Very grateful that you're letting me impose on you. Baxter and I will move out as soon as I can find somewhere to...
Oh, there's no rush. Besides, you'd probably just move into some squalid little bachelor apartment, and we can't have that. If you're to be a part of society, you must have a respectable address. Somewhere men and women of stature can come visiting without feeling they're going slumming. The right address always says a great deal about a man. To begin with, I think we'll get you settled in a suite at one of the better hotels.
Eddie, I don't have that kind of money. The clan has no assets. And while the Navy gave me a nice little bonus on leaving, it hardly amounted to a golden handshake. What I've got won't last long, and it certainly won't stretch to a suite.
If you're going to be the Campbell, you have to live like the head of a clan, or no one is going to take you seriously. Don't you worry about money. Once word gets around that you're back, people will be falling over themselves to pay your bills in return for future favors. Even the banks will extend you open lines of credit in the hope of handling your business. Everyone knows that a hell of a lot of money went missing when the Campbells crashed. Money that the Wolves never got their hands on.
But I haven't got it.
They don't know that. If anyone asks you about it, just smile and look enigmatic. Let me worry about such things, dear. You just concentrate on looking the part. How are we doing for clothes, Baxter? Is he ready to go out in public yet?
There will have to be further fittings for the more formal evening wear, ma'am. But I think we're ready to risk a few carefully controlled appearances. Did you have anyone in mind, ma'am?
Well, to start with, I thought Constance Wolfe.
Are you crazy? The Wolfes destroyed my family, murdered my uncles, almost killed you, and hunted us down in the street and butchered us like animals.
That was then. This is now. A lot's happened since those days. Jacob Wolfe was head of the clan at the time. He's dead now. Valentine is on the run, Daniel is missing, and Stephanie is so far out of favor with her own people that she can't even see it from where she is. Constance, Jacob's young widow, is currently the wolf and head of the family. And she has revolutionary ideas about how the families should behave in the new order. She distrusts Blue Bloc, supports Parliament, and is very keen to mend fences with old enemies. Go and see her, Robert. Turn on the Campbell charm. Make it clear you don't hold her responsible for the excesses of her predecessors, and you might just find in her a kindred spirit. She'd make a very strong friend and supporter, and it would demonstrate to all the other families that you don't feel bound by old feuds and vendettas. You're going to have enough enemies as it is, Robert. Make friends where you can.
Not back 24 hours, and here I am, dressed up like a clothes horse and contemplating making deals with a wolf. Some welcome home. But if I have to...
You have to.
Robert looked to Baxter, who nodded solemnly.
It will make an excellent beginning, sir. Not to worry, I shall of course be accompanying you.
Wonderful. Now I've got a nanny as well as a butler.
He glared at Adrienne.
Anything else you think I ought to know?
There is one other thing. Concerning Finley, you may have to do something about him.
You just said he didn't want to be the Campbell.
He doesn't. But he's been acting even more erratically than usual just recently, threatening people. He's made a lot of enemies in his time, many of them major players in society. They might just ask you to deal with Finley as a price for their support.
Deal with Finley? As in, kill him? What the hell could I do? The man's a legendary fighter and assassin. He's not going to listen to anything I might say. And even if he did accept me as head of the clan, I doubt very much that he'd accept my authority over him. And I am certainly not stupid enough to try to deal with him myself. Owen Deathstalker might be able to handle him, or Kid Death, but I wouldn't last 5 minutes against him.
Adrienne looked away.
There are ways. In the end, all that matters is the good of the clan. One man can't be allowed to undermine everything we're hoping to achieve.
For God's sake, Adrienne. He's your husband, the father of your children. Don't you have any feelings for him?
I don't know him anymore. Sometimes I wonder if I ever did.
Robert Campbell sat upright on an antique chair, with spindly legs and an unforgiving seat, holding a full cup of tea in one hand and a large chocolate pastry on a plate in the other, and wondered how the hell he was supposed to get either one of them anywhere near his mouth without losing the other. Also, his new coat was uncomfortably tight across the shoulders, his cravat was half strangling him, and his trousers were pinching him in places he didn't even know he had. All in all, this was shaping up to be one hell of a first social call. His hostess, Constance Wolfe, had the top floor in Tower Wolfe all to herself, and had fitted it out to her personal taste. There were thick rugs on the floor, the very latest fashions in furniture, and stuffed fluffy animals lying everywhere there was a space. Robert felt he could have coped with all that. It was the frankly pornographic murals on the walls that kept throwing him. He'd never seen anything like some of them. And him a Navy man. He also had a terrible suspicion that Constance had posed for at least three of them, in which case she was not only very beautiful, but incredibly limber as well. She looked very smart in black, still in mourning for her husband, and every inch the head of her clan. Robert stared determinedly down at his tea and pastry, and tried to beam telepathic appeals for help to Baxter, before remembering that Constance had banished him from the room, along with all her servants, so that he and she could speak privately. He hoped she wasn't going to jump on him. He'd always been rather shy about such things. There'd been a lot of guards, too, but Constance had dismissed them as a sign of good faith. The two of them were alone together. Robert had been surprised at the sheer number of armed men Constance had around her. He hadn't realized society was that dangerous these days. He supposed he ought to get a few guards himself, if only for show. Constance leaned forward in her chair, facing him, and he jumped slightly in spite of himself. Tea slopped out of his cup and into the saucer.
You don't have to eat the pastry if you don't want it, or drink the tea. One of the first things you have to learn at social gatherings is the art of saying no gracefully. Otherwise, they'll load you down with food until your arms ache. People do so love to show off their chefs.
Robert smiled gratefully, looked around for a nearby table or empty surface, realized there wasn't one, and finally settled for putting cup and plate down on the floor beside his chair. He straightened up, tried surreptitiously to ease his coat and trousers without much success, and smiled, slightly desperately, at Constance.
I like your room. It's very comfortable.
One of the few joys of living alone is that you don't have to compromise on your personal ideas of comfort. Jacob would have had a fit if I'd done this to his living room while he was still alive. But after he died, I got rid of most of his things as quickly as was decent. Otherwise, everything I saw would have made me think of him. Every object had a story, a memory, a reminder of what I'd lost. So I replaced it all with new things, because I had to make a new life without him. All I kept were a few portraits of him. They're in my bedroom, next to my bed, so his face can be the last thing I see at night. That way, sometimes I get to dream of him. He was the only man I ever loved, you see, and we had such a short time together before he was taken from me so very suddenly. You understand? You lost someone too, didn't you?
Yes, I understand.
His ghost came back to me once, at court, but it was just a ghost warrior. Just his body, not my Jacob. Poor Daniel went off looking for the ghost warrior, convinced his father was still in there somewhere. Daniel always was desperate for his father's approval. Jacob did love his children, in his own way, even Valentine. But he never found it easy expressing things like that. And they were all disappointments to him. I was going to give him new children, but he didn't want to share me with anyone else, so we never got round to it before he was taken from me. So now I never will. Just another loss to grieve.
Robert struggled for the right thing to say in the face of her calm words.
He must have loved you very deeply.
I hope so, but I was never really sure. Never really sure whether he loved me as much as I loved him. I was a trophy wife, you see, young and beautiful, something to show off at court and at parties. It was an arranged marriage, but I grew to love him. He was always kind to me, but he never found it easy to talk about his feelings, even to me. So I was never sure.
You must find it very difficult, being a woman alone and heading such a large clan.
You have no idea. I only got the position by default. I keep it by playing my many enemies off against each other and intriguing morning, noon, and night. As a result, every word I say, and even the smallest of actions, are analyzed endlessly by all concerned to see if they contain crumbs of valuable information. Sometimes I say things entirely at random, just to get them worrying. There are always people around me now. Moments of privacy like this are rare. Everyone wants to see me. Everyone wants something. You'll find that out for yourself. Now you're the Campbell.
Why not just walk away from it all? You're not trapped like me. You're only a wolf by marriage, not blood. You could give it all up, and no one could stop you.
But the clan is all I have left of Jacob. The one remaining connection to the happy times I shared with him. I owe him a duty not to step down till I can place the clan in safe hands. That's why I'm marrying Owen Deathstalker.
I had heard. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What's he like, really? I've only ever seen him on the Hollow. Some say he's a hero, some
say he's a monster, I know. But he seemed very ordinary to me. Quite likable. Even charming in a clumsy sort of way. But he's strong, thoughtful. He'll make a good constitutional monarch, and as his queen, our two families will merge, and I will be able to give up control to him. Can you think of any hands more secure than those of the legendary Owen Deathstalker?
Not really, no.